This is Marie McCabe making an oral history interview for Historic Madison Incorporated on April 4th, 1985. I'm talking to Herbert Eberhardt. Mr. Eberhardt, will you give me your full name and where and when you were born?
My name is Herbert F. Eberhardt. I was born here in Madison, October 26, 1924.
And where did you live at that time?
We lived over on Johnson Street, right around the bend there. I forget the exact. I think it was a 600 block on West Johnson.
Uh-huh. And your father's name?
Was Leonard Eberhardt.
Mm-hmm. And he had come from Germany?
Yes, in 1923.
Was he married then?
Yes, he had a three-year-old son. Mm-hmm. And they emigrated here. Well, I had two uncles here who came after the war, and they came, I think one came in 1922, or the other one was here before the war.
What was your mother's full name?
Marie Elfrieda Bremer.
Bremer?
B-R-E-H-M-E-R.
Uh-huh. And your brother's name was what?
Leo Henry.
Mm-hmm. And did you have other siblings then?
I have a younger brother who was born here 3 years afterwards.
And his name?
Was Siegfried.
Hmm. So that's the whole family.
Right.
No sisters?
No sisters, just three boys.
I see. And why do you think they emigrated? What were the conditions in Germany?
Well, for example, inflation was very bad. The money had to be exchanged every day because it was just no good. Mm-hmm. And my father had his own beauty shop in Germany at the time. And after they had the ticket purchased, he sold his shop over there for 50 million marks, which was 50 bucks in American money. That's all he had in his pocket when he arrived here.
And he came to New York, I suppose.
Yes, and then directly to Madison here.
Because he studied for me.
That's right.
And what did the brothers do?
They worked in, the old Kissel plant in Wisconsin Dells.
It was car manufacturing?
Car manufacturing, yeah. It was called Kilburn, I guess, at that time. And
I think he was Kissel car.
Yeah, he worked there. And then afterwards, he opened his own body shop here. And the other brother, he had a very amount of jobs. He was a brewmaster for a while. He worked and then ran a brewery up in Sparta. And then, prohibition and things went bad, so he moved around after that.
They recommended Madison, apparently, to your father.
Yes. The reason, originally why they came here, I really don't know.
So did he set up shops right away?
No, he worked, when he first came, couldn't speak English.
Oh.
And he went to night school, my mother too, and they learned English, and he worked for Sam Fidelli down here as a barber on Park Street while he learned English. And although
he was at the vocational school. Right?
That's right, yeah. And then, as soon as he had mastered enough English, he was technically a ladies' hairdresser. In Germany, a hairdresser did everything, men, women, wigs, everything. But here, until he got his feet on the ground, he just worked as a barber. And then there was a shop for sale, which was in the 600 block on State Street at that time. Mrs. Wengel had it, and she sold it to him. In fact, the deal was signed on my birthday, which was a Sunday, and you might say occupation or possession was the 1st of November in 1924.
Well, I wonder how your father would put $50 and would have been able to save enough to buy a shop.
Well, after he worked here for a while. It was about a year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a little over a year.
It probably took him a while to pay it off. But
yes, and then, of course, my mother sewed at St. Mary's Hospital.
Uh-huh.
She worked there.
Uh-huh.
in the sewing room. That's when they mended sheets instead of throwing them out.
And they did that for a while.
And sister used to even have her own garden, you know, in the back. They raised their own vegetables, so things were different then.
Well, so then the shop at that location was in your hands until you recently retired.
No, not quite exactly. That was 625. Well, the numbering has changed, but it was, well, you might say about four or five stores down from where we are,
or should I say were,
at the end. There was an old house at the corner of State and Hawthorne Court. And that was torn down and rebuilt the building there then. Right now, it's where the location is where Rocky Rococo is. That was the original location.
So when did you build that new building?
In 1939 and 40.
That was a good time. And apparently it was a successful operation, and he was happy with it and did well.
Yeah, we worked out.
How big did the shop get to be? How many operators?
We had 14 there.
I didn't remember having gone. I remember having gone to Bush's. That was down in that same area, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But my daughter said she was there.
In fact, he sent the money over for Bush to come over on.
Oh, did he?
And then Bush worked for him for a number of years.
And I went to Leon at the Bush's. Leon Byler, and then he went to Leon's. Well, how did he know Mr. Bush?
I really don't know how he knew of him over there. Somebody evidently wrote to him and said there was a hairdresser that wanted to come over. And
he got to be his competitor.
Yeah.
That was probably business enough to go around. And so, did you live on the Johnson Street location for very long?
We lived there until 29. That's when he built the house at 616 West Shore Drive.
Oh, quite close to where you are.
Yeah, that was the original house. And then he also built this house here in 1933 as an investment.
And this one is 906 West Shore Drive. So you've always practically lived on the same. Was it different before they put the car going across there?
Well, how shall we say, how far do you want to go back?
As far as you remember.
Well, I remember when this here was, there was no real curbs or gutters, and it was just a rough road. And I remember the house here, it was the vacant lot before it was built. It was just a deep hole in the ground, you might say, with kind of swampy. In fact, if you dig down and get to the original soil, you see seashells.
Well, I suppose so. It would have been pretty low.
It was all swampland.
A fill area?
This was all fill area, yeah.
But when your original house was built, the 600 block, it was, there were other houses there.
There were a couple, two other houses in the block then, yes.
But it was kind of a new area to be in.
Yeah, and there was only about one or two houses in this block here.
Well, where did you go to school then?
I went to St. James grade school, and then I had a year at Campion High School in Prairie du Chien, and then 3 years at Edgewood High School.
Oh, I see. So St. James is, what street is that on?
That's on St. James Court. It's right off Mound Street. Sort of Mounds and Mills.
So that was an easy distance for you to walk.
Yeah, well, yeah, we walked.
Now, was this primarily a Catholic
school?
The private, still private school.
Yeah, it's still is, yeah.
And who, was it neighborhood children who went there, or did they come from all over the city?
Basically neighborhood. It was the south side. St. Graves had their uptown, and St. Pat's had the uptown kids. And after all, Blessed Sacrament had the west side kids.
Was this a fairly ethnic group then?
Yes.
lot of Italians, I presume.
No, Germans.
Oh, Germans.
In fact, they even used to have mass there in Germany,
oh.
At least one mass a Sunday.
Yeah, I suppose the Italians really couldn't afford it.
Well, place. They had their own. They had St. Joe's on Park Street.
Oh, actually, now see, I'm not very familiar mm-hmm. with the area. I've always been on the west side.
Yeah. Well, see, years ago it was broken up into ethnic groups. I mean, Holy Redeemer and St. James were the German, St. Grace and St. Pat's were the Irish, and then St. Joseph was the Italian.
There were a lot of Germans in town.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I've interviewed a couple of women who were both German families, and one lived on the other side of the square, and they were all Lutheran. And the one who lived on the Bates Street or something like that, on this side of the square, was in the Catholic Church. And she said they really didn't have a lot to do with the Germans on the other side. For some reason. And they didn't go to the same church,
yeah.
And they didn't go to the same school, so they didn't necessarily associate. I don't think there was any antagonism.
No.
It was just socially indifferent. You were good. Well, so you had a reasonably happy childhood, and
yes.
Who were some of your neighbors and your playmates whose names you might remember?
Well, it was Frank Dempsey on Emerald Street or Emerald and Park. I played lots with him, and Johnny Gorman. Mm-hmm. No girls.
No girls. That's probably just as well. Do you remember any of your teachers' names in grade school?
Remember the principal, Sister Isidore.
Oh.
She knew with an iron hand.
I imagine she was pretty well behaved.
Oh, yes, because if you didn't, you caught it.
Did you get some religious training in
Oh,
school?
Yes, yeah.
You had every day?
Every day, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was part of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. And you had catechism and
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just heard
oh no.
But you had a lot of good play time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did you go through eighth grade there?
Yes, it was eighth grade, yeah.
So then you said you went to play the scene.
Yeah. It was a military school.
Oh.
My older brother went there for a couple of years before he went to university. And then I went there and then I got sick and I had to come back.
Did you like it then?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like a sort of a tender age for a boy to go away, and although in England, I guess they do this all the time. But, if you liked it, you know, it must have been all right. Pleasant enough. So then you came back and went to Edgewood.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And was Edgewood just a high school at that time, or did we have some college
school? Well, they had grade school. And there wasn't any real college part. Oh, I guess they had a little bit of a college, but it isn't anything that appears mm-hmm. now today.
But they had the same campus for you.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you walk to the Edgewood?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime, that was kind of a long
way. Well, yeah, once in a while, but very seldom took the bus, mm-hmm. but most of the time it was always walked. You bundled up in it.
Mm-hmm. Your family had a car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I heard a lot of the old time stuff about the food cars down, but I don't know if they were still going.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you probably could have taken the food cars.
There were a couple of lines that ran yet, mm-hmm. but they were mostly converted into bus by then.
Mm-hmm. And you remember some of your teachers at Edgewood?
Yeah, it was nuns, all nuns. Yeah, except for Coach Wilkie, who taught biology.
I see. So were you allowed for sports, or did they have them?
Oh yes, they were, but I wasn't able to participate.
What was your illness?
I had TB.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went there all through high school on one lung.
You didn't have to go away to a sanitarium?
Yeah, I was for 9 months in the hospital.
Well, they seem to know how to treat it now.
Much different now than it was then.
I suppose. You had the open air and the sunshine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it did the job.
Yeah, but not. They lost a lot of them, too.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, it's an improvement over what they used to do, I guess. Well, so you had a good time at Edward?
Oh, yes.
What course did you pursue then?
Well, more or less college, what they called college prep, then was Latin, Greek, math, science. Yeah.
And you planned to go on to the university?
Yeah.
So what year did you graduate from Edward?
In 1943.
And that was in the middle of the war, wasn't it?
No, it, well, yes, it had started then, and come to think of it now, I did have to go and register or take a physical for the draft, but...
You didn't have to go, either.
But, no.
Uh-huh. I suppose at 18, you were...
Yeah, at 18, some of them didn't graduate. They had to go early.
And so you went right on to the university then?
Then I registered at the university, yes. Mm-hmm. But that summer my father died, and my older brother was in service, he was overseas, and my younger brother was in high school, so it was left up to me to bring the family finances together, because we had just built the building and everything we owned was mortgaged and double mortgaged.
So this is rather sudden.
Yeah.
Your father.
Yeah,
he had a heart attack?
Yeah, he died in the shop.
Oh my goodness. Mother,
yeah, it was.
He was fairly young.
So. Yeah, he was 53.
Well, that's really hard on the children in the family. The mother too, of course. But I know this happened in my family. And my older brother had to become the man of the family. He was old enough to, at that time, to entertain to own the money, but he had to help around the house. So, had you worked at the shop at all?
Oh, janitor worked. We were given scrub rags and brooms early in life. We had all help. We had our chores to do,
I would have assumed that you would have, in high school at least, would have helped out.
Yeah.
Your janitor, even for that sort of thing. Did your mother do anything at the shop?
No, not much. She was, how shall we say, not exactly customer-orientated.
Oh, okay. Well, she had done sewing, you said. Did she continue that?
No, not after... she did it for a while after my younger brother was born, but then she must have quit when he was about 3 years old. I would assume that's when he built the house here.
Had three boys to take care of, and that was enough.
Yeah.
And cook all those good German dishes.
Right.
Did you think she was a good cook?
Oh, yes, she could cook good.
What were some of your specialties?
Oh, well, sauerbraten. Mm-hmm. And what when you remember or tasted hers, and then you go to some of these restaurants, there's no comparison, you know. You soaked the meat in wine for a week. You just didn't pour a little vinegar over it, you know. And it's different.
I know. Well, my husband was his German mother, and he always mentioned him about this wonderful vegetable she cooked for him and so, and I know you, everybody's talking about the mother's cooking. And I suppose it works like for me.
Yeah.
Well, I have asked other people, so I better ask you where you did your shopping. Do you know where you did your grocery shopping around your house?
Grocery shopping was around here, yes. There was the AP Kroger store in the neighborhood here.
Uh-huh. And your mother, I suppose, did her own cleaning and her own work. You all did your own work around the house.
Early in the years, she did have a maid. Mm-hmm. At that time, I guess you got somebody to come in and live in and practically work for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But not in latter years at all.
No, I think once the war started, it wasn't.
Well, even before that, it must have been about the middle of 30s when that stopped.
I presume so, although Well, I guess you were too young to remember much about the Depression, but...
Well, I remember my dad talking about the banks closing.
Oh.
I mean, Depression.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And I don't imagine that it was too many people could afford to have their hair done a lot. It might have meant some less business for them.
Yeah. Well, we were used to saving. I mean, we used to sew shoestrings together because we didn't spend the money to buy new ones.
Oh, that's and
right. No, everything was used.
I still pick up a penny if I could hear a ground somewhere. That's right, it was a lot of money. And you can get along. So, how did you get the training? It must have been pretty fast to take over the shop.
Well, I was kind of, you might say, even before that, in high school, shall we say, I got on a bike and paid all the bills on a bike instead of mailing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little, you might say, bookkeeping that way. And of course, I took bookkeeping in high school.
Uh-huh.
And so I knew something about that. But everything was in estate then. And of course, I'd have to bring the receipts to the bank and tell them who got paid and how much they got paid and so on. So I didn't learn in a hurry.
Oh, was the shop as big then as you had?
No, it was only, it was down to about 8 people then.
Oh, uh-huh. And they just kept on working?
Yes.
Kept the business going? Okay.
Yeah.
Manager?
Yes, we had a girl that was with us for, well, altogether she was with us for 45 years.
Oh.
But at that time she started working for 29, and so she was with us for...
So she really knew
yeah.
how things ran?
Yeah.
Ran
she ran the technical end of it, and then I took care of the business end of it.
Your
yeah.
mother was not.
No, she couldn't.
To do that.
No.
So then did you continue with that? Was that full time for you?
Well, I tried to go to university. I had one semester in, and then I'd go down there at night and
mm-hmm.
lock up and do the books and so on. But that didn't work, so I had to quit university and went to the shop then full time
mm-hmm.
and just ran the business end of it.
And you continued to
well, after about a year and a half, it was very obvious you'd either get into it all the way or you get out.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't enough just to do the business end of it.
What was your ambition? Had your father not died?
I was going to be an accountant.
Oh, so the business part of it did appeal to you.
Yeah.
So you didn't mind terribly, or did you?
Well, I did, but I had no choice.
You really wanted to do the
yeah.
university, really. Uh-huh.
So then I went to beauty school in
oh,
Madison,
really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a law at that time, after you got out of beauty school, you couldn't work in any shop that you, anybody in your family had an interest, a financial interest.
Yeah.
So then I went to work in Milwaukee. I had a cousin who came over and worked for my dad, and then went to Milwaukee to work. I worked for him for a while, and for Tiffany's, who also used to work in Madison. He opened up a Milwaukee shop.
Hmm.
I had a year at each place to suffice, and then I came back.
And then you were
took my manager's license, and then...
Well, who ran the shop while you were gone?
The same girl,
I
Thelma
see.
Aaron.
But who did the accounting?
I did. I came home every weekend, and...
I see, but you couldn't be an operator.
No. Yet. I couldn't, yeah, run the book.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, that doesn't sound like too easy.
Well,
you, when you're faced with that sort of thing, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. So did you like it all right?
Oh, yes and no. It wasn't as, of course, what I would have chosen,
mm-hmm.
but you made out.
And you got to be good at it, I do.
No.
So you did, so then you were an operator, too, for
yeah.
the rest of the time.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did the business go? Apparently it grew, and I suppose after the war, when there were so many students, the business was booming.
Yeah, at first, I mean, when I first took over, of course, things were way down again after I came back with my managers, and then I bought the shop from the family, and then proceeded then, and well, we were never ever as big as we were originally, but I think we had six, sometimes seven girls, and it was enough.
Mm-hmm. There's some changes in style they hear these two that sometimes the German has.
Oh, yes.
Some people want to hear them.
Yeah.
But when was that period where the hair grew long and straight?
Oh, yeah, that was in the late 50s and 60s.
And nobody was getting hair
done for a while. No. Mm-hmm. In fact, for a while, we did more hair straightening than we did curling, which is different.
Well, when my daughter was in high school, I remember they were wearing these big bouffant hair rings, and there must have been a lot of hairdressing going on at that
time. Well, for a while there, I mean, there was a lot of spraying, I mean, and bluing.
Yes, that's the story in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, your clientele was at first pretty much a mix of town people.
It was more town people. It was about 80% town people and about 20% students. Mm-hmm. And by town people, people who were either connected with the university or wives of professors or teachers in the local schools. Mm-hmm. That was our basic.
Mm-hmm. Not students, but they might be connected.
Yeah. Well, the students came like, you know, before proms and social events.
Mm-hmm. Probably a lot of house mothers.
And house, yes, we had very many of them, yeah.
But you didn't necessarily draw from other sections of the city.
No, we drew from all over then, and even sometimes the small towns around, they would come in.
Was there quite a bit of competition with other beauty shops there?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there were.
Oh, quite a few.
Quite a few, yeah.
But there was parking, I suppose.
Yes.
And did you have parking next to the shop?
No, but well, how it was years ago when I first went in there, I remember we had Mrs. Timothy Brown, her husband was the Chief Justice, and she, well, she must have been close to 75, 80 then, and she'd park in a little, in the bus zone or someplace, and the policeman would move the car for her and come in and tell us where he parked it for her, as he knew the car. Of course, you know, things like that wouldn't be now.
But I suppose there was enough parking.
Yes.
Yeah,
there was parking there. Mm-hmm.
So that was never a problem?
Not as it was, shall we say, 30 years from then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when, like in the 60s even, it got pretty bad trying to find a place to park.
There were so many more cars each decade, it seems like. But that has been a problem everywhere. Well, it was a fairly busy time for you then, and when did you get married and have a family of your own?
Oh, I got married in 48 when I lived in Waukesha.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
And your wife's name is?
Eunice.
Eunice, what was her maiden name?
Endress. She lived out at Springfield Corners on a farm.
Oh, okay. Did she go to Waukesha to school?
No.
The reason I ask is because I'm from Waukesha.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
No, she went to university here.
Oh, and that's where you met her?
Yeah.
I see. And so where did you live then? You stayed in the same house on Dresdor?
No, we lived in the building upstairs. See, above the beauty shop there was 12 apartments. At first we had one of the apartments in for 2 years, and then we moved into this house here because we had tenant trouble.
Now, the new building that you talked about, the Dollar Building, that was the one that had the apartments about.
That's right, yeah.
I see. So that was a fairly wise move, wasn't it? You never had any trouble getting this building, did you?
Well, in the beginning they weren't always filled, but as of latter years, when the university grew, especially from, was it about 12,000-13,000 that I remember, to now, I mean, there was much more demand.
Mm-hmm. course, that's a problem in itself, is having three planes in there.
It's a different ballgame.
I'm sure that's true. And they can move it, they can ruin things too,
yeah.
You know. And then tell me about your family. You have children?
I have five.
Oh.
I have three girls and two boys.
And their names and how old?
Richard is 35, he's the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is 31. And then Louise is 25. Jeannie is 23 and Tom is 22.
Oh, I suppose some of them still in school.
Both Jeannie and Tom are supposed to graduate this May from the university.
Well, that's very nice. Did they all go to the university
now? All except one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite an accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And what sort of jobs are they interested in for you to have?
Well, the oldest one, he's got a degree, but he's not working in it because it wasn't the wrong time when he majored in recreation and it was only minorities and women that they were hiring. They told him that, and so he didn't want to leave town, so he took another job. He works for Bancroft Dairy. And then the other daughter went to, that didn't go to university, she went to vocational school and took up secretarial work, worked as a secretary before she got married. And then the next one went to university, and after a couple of years she decided she didn't want that, so she dropped out a year, and then she went to vocational and took up interior design, and she graduated last May, but hasn't found anything really yet.
Well, I was just wondering if any of them were going into the beauty shop.
No, they heard me complain too much.
Oh, really? What were your complaints?
Oh, I guess just frustration, like with every business. And it was long hours.
Yes, I was thinking that your father probably worked 6 days a week, didn't
he? Yes.
You did too?
Yes. I mean, the average work week was 52 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And, how shall we say, when you figure the, even today, when you figure the pay compared to other professions, I mean, it's kind of minimum side.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to get rich.
No.
Mm-hmm. And did you manage the apartments too? Which is a job in itself.
That's a second job, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Leon used to say that he didn't make any money on the operators that he had, because he had to get specials in order to keep them busy.
Yeah.
And finally, he cut down to just himself. And,
No, that's. That's quite true. I mean, there were some that she did make money on. They were good.
Mm-hmm.
Only those she didn't stay too long.
That's right.
There were a few, though, that did. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And especially of the latter years, the main object of a girl working was to put in time until she got married,
uh-huh.
rather than as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
Where years ago, most we had a lot of times. Oh, now this was before I started in the shop, but I remember there were girls, I think there were about six of them that were there 6-8 years,
mm-hmm.
which nowadays is unheard of.
Yes, that's right. And they would build up a steady time.
That's right, yeah.
And they could count on them.
That's right.
And that's how they would be doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know there are certain problems about any business, but what would you say were some of those, aside from the hours and the low profit?
Well, of course, competition and
I was just wondering if state regulations, for instance, were a problem to you.
Not particularly, although every now and then you got somebody who is trying to make a name and, you know, nitpicking.
Uh-huh.
Because, well, I suppose they have to show something to
Well, the business is fairly highly regulated.
Yes, it is, yeah.
You have to have standards of both of them.
Yeah, that it is.
I presume there were a lot of innovations that came in and new kinds of permanents and, you know, things like that.
Well, like in the cold wave, I mean, my father even gave the original Willett money to further the thing, you know. The cold wave started out as a depilatory. And all of a sudden, when they were looking for an easy depilatory, and all of a sudden they found out curled hair. And then the first perms we, cold waves we gave, stunk so bad you had to work under a hood. There was a ventilator which sucked the fumes out, and you worked right under it. There was a hood, and you worked right under that. It smelled like a chemistry class in spring with the rotten egg smell. And so they've come a long way that way, I mean, now.
And I was thinking that the problem of the hairsprays, because didn't you find that they used it very lavishly at first, and then you found it was interfering with the breathing?
Yeah, of course, we were never a high spray shop. I mean, we didn't, shall we say, push the real lacquered type styles as much as other shops had done.
More conservative,
and we always
aware of the ill effects then.
No, although it did get you.
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
And we are always a firm believer hair should feel like hair rather than a plasterboard.
Good idea. Well, they're into this new product called Mousse now, and I don't know what that does, but I know my grandson thinks it's great.
It's just another wave set is what it amounts to.
Spray type of wave set.
Well, or the jelly type,
mm-hmm.
which originally was made from flaxseed.
Ah. Well, did you have to do continual training?
Oh, yes. You always went to conventions and seminars and picked up the latest things that were going on.
You didn't have to go to a meet at school and anything like that.
Well, you did voluntarily. I mean, they had these different, you might say, advanced training schools around, and you'd go for a couple of days or a day.
The state didn't really require you to
go. No, it wasn't required, but for your own, yes,
okay.
In order to survive, shall we say, you went. And
so when was it that you began to notice this, a shift in your clientele? Was this when the campus got a little bit different in the 60s?
Yeah, it was the late 60s. I mean, that was the period of, well, for one thing, the students became very dirty in their clothing and in the hair. Once in a while, they'd come in and you could smell the body odors 20 feet away. I don't think they had a bath in 2 months.
Oh, they really didn't wash?
No. And their hands, they turn up there during the summer, where when it was hot, you could see where the sweat had run, and their arms were so dirty you could see where the sweat had run and stained.
Hmm.
And it was really nauseating.
Mm-hmm. Would they come in for some service?
No, well, once in a while they did come in, and you couldn't hardly untangle the hair to cut it, you know, just trim off the ends to make it smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it was even a hassle, yeah. We had signs, we exploited women and stuff like that.
Well, now, what do you attribute this change in the students?
Well, I suppose it was part of this do-your-own-thing attitude that they were teaching in schools. Anything that was against the establishment.
Just to be different from the way they were brought up,
mm-hmm.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know they wore a lot of torn clothing and old jeans and things, but I just assumed they were personally.
No, they weren't. No. Now, I shouldn't say all of them. I mean, but, that seemed like good half of them.
Mm-hmm. And what was happening on State Street?
Well, that was just prior to, how shall we say, the riot years.
Mm-hmm.
And then anything was, you know, anything they against the establishment was the in thing to do.
So what did they do?
Well, during the riot years, we were boarded up for a year and a half. Our show window.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. And
your window had been broken?
Yeah, you know, several times.
Oh,
and
mm-hmm.
then we just left it and boarded it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had rocks coming in through the side windows and then through the back. There's dings in the plaster walls where the stones came through.
And this was during these little sort of marches that they had in,
yeah.
in the evenings. They wanted whole group would get together. This wasn't single action.
No, this was, how shall we say, well organized. It wasn't spontaneous, or they were organizers.
Oh, uh-huh.
In fact, one of my friends, he works for the city, and down on Mifflin Street, they work at night, and he was filling his water truck, you know, that we sprayed the streets with. There wasn't a soul in the street, and all of a sudden, two guys came out and started yelling, "Hey, did you see that cop beat that kid on the bicycle?" and started screaming things like that. And within 15 minutes, there was a riot going on down there. So this wasn't just, I mean, this was well-planned, organized type of thing.
And just somebody wanting to get something started.
So, that's right.
Uh-huh. And that was where that type of street congregated was down in the
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, they'd come down on the campus, and you know, kids, they follow.
Mm-hmm. Well, who did you think were these organizers? You know,
that I don't know.
You don't know where
no.
they came from. They
no.
were students, so
no. you know. But you heard where they brought in busloads of kids from other towns mm-hmm. to on a certain day, and then there'd be a riot.
Uh-huh. Well, they were students, so you thought who were at least I thought that was a general thing.
The bulk of it was students, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were just
egged on.
They were ones, you think that they were the ones who were for the civil rights movement? You know, was this?
Well,
was
basically it
time?
Was anti-Vietnam.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I don't know, I was against the war too, but busting up and breaking and smashing.
Mm-hmm. That certainly wasn't helping any.
No.
There was general unrest, that
yes.
was true, but I believe the Civil War movement was earlier, I mean the Civil Rights movement was earlier than that.
Yeah, that I don't think affected us much here because there weren't too many blacks.
No, except that I do think that this independence of
yeah.
the students came along and this wanting to have their own rights
yeah.
you know, of expression and what they wore and what they did with their hair and their clothing and things was part of that, and then it was expressed even more with the anti-Vietnam period. But it certainly was an unpleasant time for people who wanted to be normal, and for State Street businesses it was very difficult.
We lost about half of our business during, yeah.
Who were the ones who left back then? Or you were talking about your own business.
Yes.
Your own
clientele. Our clientele, yes.
Because
we had to call people up and tell them not to come because it was just too bad. And the shop at times would be filled so badly with tear gas you couldn't hardly,
mm-hmm.
well, your eyes would just be watering all the time.
And after your windows were broken, I suppose it took some time to clean that up. And
well, yeah, you did. I mean, every morning you'd have to go out and rip off the posters
mm-hmm.
that they stuck up, and because I wouldn't leave them on,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that antagonized some of them.
And then did they spray paint your
We were spray painted, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I imagine all the time. Oh, that's really very
mm-hmm.
discouraging to
mm-hmm.
a business person trying to run a decent place. So then was that other business, or was it just sort of a depressed time?
It was a depressed time.
Mm-hmm. Did you consider moving?
Oh, yes. I even looked at other places. But, well, you might say, since we own the building, you're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
and you have to take care of it anyway, so you're better off being there. So
and
I stayed.
Probably would have been difficult to get other tenants under the circumstances.
At that time, it would have been, yes.
Now, your shop was just one of many that was in the way, and they treated them all the same.
Oh, yes. That's right. No, no, we were by no means the only one, mm-hmm. up and down the street all over.
Did the merchants there... This is track two of the interview with Herbert Eberhardt. So we'll go on about this, the bad times, and how many years would you say that kind of activity went on?
Well, all told, from the beginning to, you might say, very end, it was close to 3 years.
Well, that's a long time, almost every day.
Oh, yes. Well, it wasn't exactly every day, mm-hmm. but... For a while there it was.
And you didn't know what to expect
no.
tonight. Did you feel that the university officials, faculty were doing anything one way or another about the students?
Well, I believe at the time Robin Fleming was president. Mm-hmm. I never thought much of him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was awful, well, wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of taking a firm stand, he just let things ride.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an easy time. That's
no,
right.
That's mm-hmm. true.
And it was a hard time to tell students what to do or not.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true in anybody who started it and go. And then the next president was?
Harrington.
Harrington. Wasn't Phil Sewell in there somewhere?
Or, yeah, no, that's right. I believe he was.
Phil Sewell was in there
for
just a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that really tough time when they had the big one except for, you know, with the police and all that. Well, it was, I'm sure it wasn't easy for them, but did you feel that the faculty in general was sympathetic with the students, or?
Oh, I would say it was about half and half.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just from what I guessed at it.
Mm-hmm. You had contacted faculty wives instead, and
yes.
came out and mm-hmm. you.
Well, the ones that would come to the shop, of course, were establishment type of person.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the others, I mean, your younger ones, again, wouldn't. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because even some of the, the TAs and some of the professors who had quite, how shall we say, mod views.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They
never came to the shop.
Uh-huh. Did you have men customers at all, or was it strictly women?
In the beginning, there was a general rule. The barber shops did men, and the beauty shops did women. In
mm-hmm.
fact, we could be prosecuted for cutting a man's hair.
Oh, prosecuted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually that eased. We stayed away from it for quite a while, but after the students started cleaning themselves up, we got a lot of girls said, "Can you cut my boyfriend's hair just like mine?" So then we started cutting
mm-hmm.
men's hair too,
mm-hmm.
and well, towards the end, I would say we were about 40% men.
Mm. And men started getting permanence and
yeah.
things like
mm-hmm.
that too, so you see them quite a lot in that as well. But as you say, there was not much attention for that.
No.
And the students did it and couldn't care of themselves. Well, I just wondered if you felt that some of the, apparently you thought some of the faculty was.
Oh, yes, I'm sure some of them were.
Was that the time when everybody dressed so funny and there used to be people who I know go down and sightsee on State Street with odd clothes?
Yeah, it was a hippie area.
Mm-hmm.
Era.
And how would you describe their clothing and dress?
Well, it's the same almost now to a degree, except it's not so violent, the punk
mm-hmm.
look. The spiked hair, the extreme makeup, look at Boy George and all of those. I mean,
those peculiar ones, aren't
they? Yeah. So.
But then they were primarily sloppy, weren't they?
That's right. It was,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
I think some of the things they wear now are pretty expensive, but.
I guess so.
Then they were just torn and dirty, you know.
And then they used to buy good jeans and throw bleach on them to get the ugly looking effect.
Cut off one.
Yeah.
I didn't go down there to look, but I heard about it. Luckily, my children were choose university before this really started. And, because I'm sure it was hard for them, so they didn't like this sort of thing. None of their children liked it.
Thank goodness, no.
They missed it on that.
Well, no, they were in it, but they didn't go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because even the younger one would say, when he was in there, oh, look at that hairball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the wild, woolly look.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when the Athos came in, mm-hmm. that was really something else. Did you ever have any problem that reminds me with any racial discrimination in the shop?
No. We, how shall we say, we did blacks, and but we were limited in what we can do for them, because black hair is so different, because we were not qualified to do what they call ironing or pressing,
mm-hmm.
and that type of straightening, like cutting their hair. If it was a conventional style, we could do it, but we just told them outright, you can cut your hair, I mean, but we're limited in what we can do.
How about straightening? You said you did that.
We did, yes, we did straightening.
Mm-hmm. Did any of your operators ever object to working with blacks?
Not publicly, but privately.
Mm-hmm. What about the Asian group? There's so many Asian Indian students.
It's very hard hair to work with.
Okay.
It's real wiry.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you know the job isn't the best because you're not, how shall we say, trained or experienced in that type of hair, they don't come back too often.
Uh-huh.
So
they wear their hair quite straight.
Yeah.
And don't get a cut too much anyway.
Well, now of course they're getting it more perm too.
Oh,
oh yeah.
But with international, the student bodies we have, I bet you're not going
to. Well, we had a lot of people, they came in and they couldn't talk English, and once in a while somebody come along and interpret, and once in a while there was nobody there to interpret, and it got a little hairy trying to figure out what they wanted,
Oh, I guess that's right. I had my hair done in France one time, and although I thought I spoke French, I couldn't think of the right words, and it wasn't easy. Oh, well, that's one aspect of that kind of community that you have to deal with. Well, I wanted to get into by this time, it was probably 1970 when the last of the real troubles were going on. I know there was that last half year before the bombing still in hand, that things were pretty bad down there. I heard there was a lot of tear gas and a lot of rioting. But you survived it.
Yes.
And then things got a little better.
Well, it seemed when they did Sterling Hall, that was the climax. Then things seemed to get better because I guess people realized they've gone too far.
I think across the country, there was a change at that time. Things did settle down to the back. Did you ever, I suppose, put a glass window back in?
After we were sure that it had settled down. We waited, I would say probably, you might say 6 months after, most of the commotion was over with before we replaced the windows.
But, and then you got pretty much back to normal?
Well, it's awful hard getting your clientele back because people, once they're used to not coming and they went someplace else, to get them to come back downtown. And then, not only that, but by that time, the city traffic patterns had started to change too. All the one-way streets,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember exactly when they changed University Avenue, which I still think is going in the wrong direction. But people would have to come down Johnson Street from the west side, and it was just inconvenient getting over.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had, of course, you had the Lake Street Ranch built there.
Yeah.
and the people took part.
Well, that was full all the time between 10 and 3, you might say, forget it.
Mm-hmm.
If you got there early,
okay.
That was all right.
Well, that's what I found when I was taking classes down there. They used gyms, and they couldn't count much on the parking. And I was a docent at the Historical Society for a year, and I just gave up because it was too hard to back. So you had mostly had walk-in clients then?
It started more that way, too, although during that time the kids had started to clean up, and we built up quite a retail business in shampoos. We started selling an awful lot of shampoos and conditioners. They started taking care of their hair and their personal appearance again.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in order to get business back, we sold, well, that's about the time Redken started out becoming big, and Jeremac and some of those, which were strictly beauty shop items, but evidently they caught hold, especially with the kids. And we pushed that, and we sold that quite a bit cheaper. And we had people coming from all over. In fact, a lot of times when they come across town, they pull in the loading zone quick, or somebody else would, two people would come, one would drive around the block, and the other would run in quick, grab a couple of items off the shelf, and run out. And we had quite a business build up that way. And it did bring people in, and it started to pick up again then.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when they cut out the traffic, all that stopped.
And your daughter, you have two daughters?
Three.
Three. None of them wanted to have all of them shop?
No. I didn't encourage it either. Because, part of it stems from I got, you might say, railroaded into a job I didn't want.
Mm-hmm.
They should do what they want.
Well, I just wondered if they, in order to work there at all, I suppose they would have had to have certain.
Oh, yes, you had to have, nobody except a licensed
mm-hmm.
person can work in a beauty shop.
I know Leon had his one daughter particularly, and he was training.
Well, probably under an apprenticeship.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
But she didn't go into it permanently. Mm-hmm. But it was some income. I thought there was some income. But his wife also.
Yes.
Well, so when did the business, the mall proposal come up, and how did you react to it?
Well, the first, I can't remember the exact year, but I remember I went to the first couple of meetings, and
the meetings of the
business people. They were called by the City Plan Commission, where they were trying to sell the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you might say it sounded good in paper, and it looked good. Because at that time they were starting with the other malls, like I guess Westgate was open, and Madison East Shopping Center, and some of them were starting out, and it was, I forget when Hilldale opened, it was that time too, Hilldale was open.
Yeah, it would have been about 62.
And you were beginning to notice about a change of habit. For example, like your teachers, they were in school till about 4 o'clock. Between 4 and 6, we were always real busy because then the teachers would come.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started with the shopping centers open till 9. They'd go home, eat supper, and then go to the shopping center, mm-hmm. a different pattern.
Yes.
And then, of course, we were losing that way. So the mall sounded like a good idea. But as so many people have told me, even now, out of sight, out of mind. If they don't drive past, they forget about you.
Mm-hmm. But you must have had enough with 44,000 students, many of them in the area, that you see a lot of them.
Well, the student business mm-hmm. is very touchy. For example, they come the 1st of September, roughly, and they leave middle of December.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone again. They come back in January and leave in May.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get, well, shall we say, you start out in September, and, well, it's almost October or November, really, by time there's a regular pattern. they come back time and time after again, or if they want something, they come to your place because they've been there before and they know, and then it's time to go again. Mm-hmm. And then next year it's a new bunch. I mean, of course, there are some that come, you know, all the time, but it's a very changing. It isn't a steady like your outlying areas where you have the town people who live and the older, mature mm-hmm. people who are.
Are students, the girls, who more apt to do their own hair these days?
Basically, well, if you compare it to, shall we say, the 40s, when the student came, they had a shampoo set and manicure. Basically, that was it for a party or something. Mm-hmm. And now all they do is come and get a haircut. Mm-hmm. Shampoo and set used to be every week service, even, mm-hmm. well, for the town people, too.
Oh, yeah.
Now a haircut is once every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Or, and maybe a body wave at the same time. You mentioned, I thought it was interesting in your article about the changes in the prices. Mm-hmm. And can you describe that to me, what it used to cost then?
Well, the haircut was $1, and when I quit, I was charging $10 for myself. Mm-hmm. The girls were cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That was to keep the girls busy, not always me.
Mm-hmm.
And the shampoo and set was $1.25. We were getting $8.50 for that when I quit.
Mm-hmm. And a manicure.
Manicure was 50 cents, and now we were getting $7.50 for it.
That really and permanents went
from. Well, permanents are a different story. When I cleaned out the basement, I ran across some old permanent wave records of the 30s during the Depression area, and then it was $1 a curl. So there were $50, $60 permanents at that time. When the dollar bought something.
Mm-hmm.
And now, basically, a lot of your perms, you can still get a perm for $30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good one, without mm-hmm. the cut rate, I mean.
Mm-hmm. But, and that will last how long?
Well, there's a difference now. Years ago, the curlier you got, the better it was.
Wow.
Now, they want it soft to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And your average perm on a soft perm will be about 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So it's permanent.
That's right, yeah. It's different.
Well, there's so many hair care products and appliances I know on the market with all the curly irons mm-hmm. and steam irons and these rollers that have something that I don't do it much myself, so I'm not aware of them, but mm-hmm. I would think that lots of people would do their own.
The styles are much more casual and unorganized as they used to be, because years ago every curl had to be at a certain angle in a certain place. Now that's not so anymore.
And all the women, some of them still do wear all these waves. But Mrs. Renabaum. She didn't come to yours.
No.
Did she happen to? But she always looked like she was just out of
the room.
And yes, styles certainly do change, and it makes a big difference. It has made a big difference with what men are doing with their hair.
Oh yes, yeah, because for a while it was a crew cut, but now I guess they use hairspray and everything else.
Can you describe for future years what the men are doing with their hair, the way they're wearing it?
Well, right now, of course, it's on the shorter trend, but a few years ago, it really was quite long. In fact, some of it was longer than women's hair, the styles, and wavy and curly. If you had straight hair, you want curls. You always want what you don't have.
But down to the shoulders.
It really, a lot of times you had a look. Very hard to tell if it was a man or a woman. You couldn't tell it unless you didn't shave or.
Mm-hmm. A driver is still kind of hard because men are having their hair blown dry
mm-hmm.
and fluffy,
mm-hmm.
And then they started with the sideburns.
Mm-hmm.
There was that era,
mm-hmm.
and they all had, and there still are a lot of
well
mustaches on.
A lot of the women now are getting mannish looking, even in the clothes. They're wearing men's business suits
mm-hmm.
with ties. And
of course, that's not new. I remember Marlena Dietrich back at the end of the 30s when actually men were going off the broad
mm-hmm.
shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
But the I think the to me, what when men went from the short, even older men, went from a short, really cliff look
mm-hmm.
and started their hair looking fuller and longer.
Well, some of it was pretty hideous, especially those starting to get a little bald.
Oh.
Then they'd have this long hair hanging
mm-hmm.
and skimpy on top, and I mean, it was just unbalanced. And
those were the ponytails that they wore.
Oh, yes.
Those were really ugly, though, weren't they? You don't see those anymore.
No, thank goodness.
And I, for me at least, it's a treat to see men with getting the hair cut a little shorter. I never really think it was becoming too hard to find out.
Well, I will say, like the crew cut and that was overly severe.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, with a moderate length, it does look better.
Mm-hmm. There, lots of people don't know my son because he got me a real short crew cut in high school, very thick hair. And he couldn't let it grow out back then, so it looked different, but he finally let it all grow out, and there's a lot of hair. And he's a different looking person,
mm-hmm.
and of course it's much more becoming.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody seems to go along with the style, pretty much so. But the men do have an awful lot more done to their hair.
Oh, yes. And even now, according to the cosmetic company, they're pushing face creams and stuff like that, which, I don't know.
Did you ever trim beards?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you had to go to school to learn how to do that.
Well, not exactly, but we didn't have too much of it, but we did do some of it.
Well, did you think that the lower mall back to that, where the libraries are and Historical Society, did that meet with your approval? Or did
yes, that was fine because mm-hmm. that was always more or less what you'd call campus area.
Mm-hmm. And pedestrian.
And pedestrian,
and,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that what they did with it was fairly attractive.
Because even years ago, there was only a few businesses in there. There was the co-op
mm-hmm.
and Edwin Olson. And the Campus Soda Grill,
mm-hmm.
and across the street there was a barber shop, and there wasn't much in business in that block
mm-hmm.
ever.
And cutting off the traffic there, right?
That didn't hurt too much
mm-hmm.
because you could come in and still on Lake Street and turn up.
Mm-hmm. And all the activities that go on down there are not really conducive to having traffic.
No.
But the rest of the closing off State Street is what really hurt.
I think, well, it again depends on what type of business you're in. I mean, if you're strictly a student business, it seems like the hamburger business and beer business, records, they seem to do all right. But where you were more or less like an establishment type of business,
like the Furriers.
The Furrier, well, even McNeil and Moore left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I see their back. I wish them good luck.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary Antoine,
Did Wehrman's leave?
Wehrman's left.
Uh-huh. And
Moyers.
Mm-hmm. And Moyers, too. Uh-huh. Well, Moyers, with the photo art shop you're talking about.
No, the card shop. Picture frame.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cards.
Oh, I think they still have a pretty good business down there with the students.
No.
It was not the one they wanted.
No.
So you watched them go over
mm-hmm.
the years, and was there a State Street organization of the businessmen?
Yes, there was. I guess there still is. But, well, towards the end now, I got to the point where I didn't want to put in more than 8 hours a day, and things like that, so I didn't participate much in that type of thing. And in our business, having special promotions, running sales and that, it just didn't go.
Were the merchants or the businessmen assessed for the repairs and when they put in, didn't they have to put in a lot of new lines and things underneath?
Oh yes, everything, you got a big assessment for them all. Mm-hmm. And then you pay a yearly maintenance fee.
Oh.
On top of that.
Mm-hmm.
It goes by square footage.
Mm-hmm. Well, was yours, I don't remember the exact size of your building, but I suppose you had as much frontage as...
Well, we had 44 feet. Uh-huh. We were assessed that, mm-hmm. And that was $18,000.
Mm-hmm. So then you just decided that you would like to retire?
Well, it got to the point in my business now, handwriting was on the wall. The younger kids don't want an old man working on them.
Hmm.
And there were comments, you know, that got more and more frequent. Is that old guy still cutting hair? And, you know, when they call for me, not the old guy.
Hmm.
So it was time to get out.
Well, that's surprising because you think they think you know how better than anybody.
No, you're not modern enough.
I see. They thought you'd be too conservative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you still have the building?
Well, it's not mine. My mother owns it. I do the work.
Oh, I see. Did she always own the apartments too?
Yeah. I mean, after my father died, it belonged to her.
I see. I thought you thought said you bought the building.
I bought the beauty shop.
I see.
Yeah.
And you still, you are going to rent that or go sell it if you can?
That's sold.
Oh.
Or, shall we say, dismantled.
Oh.
We sold everything. That's now a new clothing store.
Yes. And when I read the article on paper, mm-hmm. you were looking for a buyer at that time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So you said you're 60 years old and
mm-hmm.
you're going to retire. And
mm-hmm.
Well, you will have Social Security, I presume.
In a couple of years.
You did pay.
Oh, yes.
That, so
oh, yeah.
That mm-hmm. was wise. And you can just take it easy.
Well, I still manage the building,
mm-hmm.
which is a big job with a student. And I still have my mother's affair to take care of. Mm-hmm. She's in a nursing home. Been there for 9 years now.
Uh-huh.
And well, I got other projects, my tree farm and so
on. Oh yes, you mentioned that you were planting trees. Where is that?
Well, it's near Coloma. We have a grow trees, you might say, for pulp.
Mm. How big a place do you have?
It's 120 acres.
Oh. When did you get that?
Right before the riot years. That's where we kept our sanity. We'd go up there and work and
get back to nature.
Get back. Well, not only that, and then some of you'd go to church and hear them sing God Bless America. We'd have some faith again.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was an awful time to go through, but it did sort of come out all right.
Yeah.
And we pretty much got the sanity mm-hmm. back. But it was particularly hard, I thought, on parents whose children started going the drug route. And there were an awful lot of those at that time.
Oh, yes. I guess still are.
Mm-hmm. So you're fortunate that you came through it without any too many scars except on the building. Mm-hmm. Well, and you're going on a trip?
We're going to take a little vacation down to see your sister out in Montana.
Kind of nice to be free to do that.
Well, the big thing is you don't have to do certain things at a certain time and a certain day all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we don't now, like before when we did take a little vacation, you always had to be back. Now we just want to see how it goes.
Did you used to take 2 weeks?
No. The last vacation I had really, right, we took a week and went around Lake Superior with the family, with the younger ones.
Oh.
But that was in 77.
And that was all you felt you could get away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, well, the last few years, things have had health problems, but...
Well, in general, how do you feel about Madison as a place to live and work?
still an awful nice place. Even though you get awful mad at the city council and the way they spend money sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's when you compare it to other cities, and old people have tried to talk me into, oh, go to Arizona or Arkansas, these retirement communities, and they come and show you pictures, and all you see is gravel for the front yard, the scrawniest looking tree they're so proud of, and they don't tell you that when the windows are shut and it blows hard, the sand comes right through the windows. Mm-hmm.
No, when you can have your out of doors and obviously you like trees.
And, well, what was it, in 1960 we went to California. My young brother was out there then. Mm-hmm. And the West and all is fine, and we thought, oh, California, you know, it's much nicer here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have a wonderful place here on the lake.
We're more fortunate, yes, with that mm-hmm. than most people.
Mm-hmm. Have you used the lake? Do you have
yes, we have a boat, and we swim out there still mm-hmm. in the summer. Yeah.
Right off the pier.
Oh. Yeah.
And do you fish?
A little bit. I'm going to do more now.
There are a lot of people who do. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good the catch is.
Well, it varies. Some years it's pretty good, and other years it's pretty poor.
Uh-huh. Well, generally speaking, then, you think it's been a good place to raise your children?
Oh, yes.
And they've resisted some of the bad things and stayed on the ground, which is important anyway. But, well, our climate is not the best, and yet it's the most interesting around.
Well, I think when you have one climate all year round, it gets pretty drab. This way, I mean, you may cuss at the winter a little bit and this and that, but it's different.
Oh, yes. And it seems to me the winters get shorter every year. I just know they're not going to last very long. Part of this has to do with being able to get away a little bit in the winter, which you didn't used to do much. But, and there are activities you can carry on. Well, I wondered if you ever had time with your heavy schedule to have any community involvement.
No, I am not much of an organization man. I mean, I belong well to the KSCs, but I'm a pretty inactive member, and well, I belong to the hairdressers and that, but outside of that, I just didn't have time to participate.
No, I guess not.
And a lot of it, well, you do things with the family rather than running to the church and doing it over there. I think you're better off with your own family than working for the church all the time.
I agree. I think that's commendable. And there just isn't time to do, or energy to do, all the things in the world. When you retire, you can do a lot more. You know, which is what I enjoy doing, this sort of thing. And, so I feel free to do it, growing children. Well, how much time do you spend at your tree farm?
Well, that varies. Now it's going to be, of course, a lot more, but, well, for a while there, we were raising Christmas trees, and the wife, the family, the kids, we sheared 13,000 trees every year for 5.5 years. So that was a little bit too much.
How long does it take to shear a tree?
Well, when they're small, I timed it, and I could do one a minute. But you can't keep that pace up.
Mm-hmm.
And the bigger they get, it takes about 3-4 minutes a tree.
And the weather has to be just right.
Well, we've worked in the rain, because there's a deadline. Mm-hmm. You start the 1st of June, and you have to be through by the 1st of August.
And the whole family helped with it?
Oh, yes.
Do you have a place to stay up there?
We've got a little cabin up there.
Oh, uh-huh. Do the children like that place?
Basically, yes.
Finally.
The older they get, I think they appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were real young, they had good time. Mm-hmm. We'd go up in winter, toboggan, cross-country skiing.
There's some hills there.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's not flat. It's a kind mm-hmm. of a general rolling.
Mm-hmm. Well, so was the Christmas tree business profitable?
It's like the farmer, you come out on the short end.
Mm-hmm.
We sold our trees for 75 cents a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to market at $5 a tree. Of course, the guy that bought them, he had to finish shearing them, he had to cut them, he had to bind them, he had to ship them. And they all went to St. Louis, Omaha, and places. south. So there's a lot of expenses too. And he bought some dogs besides the good ones.
Yes, I suppose.
So,
but on the other hand, that was an awful lot of
Well, see, when we bought the place, they had just planted these trees, and it was either plow them under or try to make a crop out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were Scotch pine, they can't stay. And so we didn't have the heart to plow them under, so we tried to make a crop out of them.
And it takes how long to mature?
It's about 10 years.
10 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and we had to work on them every year?
The first couple of years, no, because they're too small. But when they're starting to get about 4 years old, then you start your first trimming.
And how many acres of trees do you have?
Acres, I don't know. All I remember is when we sold them, they were 13,000. Of course, we had lost some in between time from disease.
Mm-hmm. 13,000 trees. Mm-hmm. And did they all go in the same year?
No. He had 3 years to get them off.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because they vary in size. Some grow good and some mm-hmm. are runts.
Did the buyer cut them then?
Yeah. It was all up to him.
Mm-hmm.
He had to finish the crop.
But you had to pay taxes on the land.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's somewhat of a gamble as everything else.
Well,
you enjoyed watching them grow.
And even though you worked very hard and everything, we had a good time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you worked hard, you played hard, you ate hard, and you drank hard.
And it was good to get away with
it. It was something mm-hmm. completely different.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any vengeance, you took it out on the tree.
Have the land values changed much?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we could never afford to buy land now.
Mm-hmm.
We bought it at a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some advantage in that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you probably didn't buy it with the idea that the land would be more valuable.
No, we always wanted a place where we could run around in a little bit and... Well, you might say we lucked out.
Oh, how did you happen to find that place?
Well, her uncle had a tree farm, and we, I don't know, got the idea he was going to retire and move off, so we thought, well, we'd buy his. Well, that didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
and then we found this one here, which was, in the vicinity,
mm-hmm.
and then we bought first one 80-acre section, and then about a year and a half later, we noticed the for sale sign on the next 40 acres, mm-hmm. so we bought that too, and that had the cabin on it.
Oh, that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. And, it's awfully nice to not have to put mm-hmm. up a place to stay. Well, that sounds like it was a good respite from your hard work.
Oh, yes.
And I did want to ask you what you felt about the government in Madison and the state. You did mention you got mad at the council sometimes, but... what have you felt over the years?
Well, state-wise, I guess you're about as good. I think taxes are high compared to other states. You hear of people who live in Reno, and they've got a house. Well, I don't know, quite maybe like this, but almost. They pay $200 taxes. We pay
$18. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes... I'm beginning to, at first I was against any kind of gambling, but I'm beginning to think maybe that's the route to go now,
mm-hmm.
instead of increasing the sales tax and increasing this tax. And,
mm-hmm.
and then, I think even in the schools, I think they're going overboard in what they're spending on schools. Other places are doing it a lot cheaper. Everything doesn't have to be the newest and the best.
Well, what about the city government in general?
Well, there too. Where was it? I think it was a couple of months ago they had complaining they had $50,000 to spend for off-the-wall artists.
Oh.
And just like, have you ever gone to any of these art exhibits at the Civic Center?
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed for some of the mm-hmm. things I see up there that they call art.
But that
and I mean,
that money probably came from some grant, not from tax money.
I was under the impression it came from tax money.
Oh, I hope not.
And yeah, and just so much of this other stuff that they're doing, which to me seems now they're talking about holding the budget down and all. And it seems when they do cut the budget, they cut where it hurts the individual the most. Mm-hmm. They cut the hours at the swimming beach.
Mm-hmm.
They cut the junk pickup and the cleaning of the streets and all that instead of all these superfluous things.
How did you feel about the bus system in the city?
Well, anytime a city runs something, they always go in the hole further than the private company.
Well, we do.
The service is better, yes. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the deficit, I think, if I remember rightly, was $30,000 when the city took over. Now, how many million is it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. But I think if fewer people would drive and if you want to take the bus, it probably take care of a lot of it. But that's something that probably isn't going to happen in the near future. But there's certainly been a lot of changes in the city in general since you were a boy.
Oh, well, yes.
The expansion.
It used to be, well, even in the 50s when I was, or I should say 40s and late 30s when I was running around on my bicycle paying bills, you knew people downtown. I mean, you always went down and saw at least one or two people you knew. Now, the city is so big, and you knew most of the streets. Now there are areas you have no idea how to find your way out there.
It's a question that's always as to whether this is necessary and desirable for the city to grow so much. I guess there's nothing to do about it. But some of us liked it when it was smaller, I know, and more pursuit. I particularly remember how exciting it used to be to go downtown to square the shop on Thursday nights when the stores were open. And much as I welcomed the Westgate, the first shopping mall, because it was close to us, I've lost something in excitement along the way.
Well, I think it was much easier to shop then because everything was concentrated in one area. Now, let's say you're looking for a refrigerator. Okay, you go out to the west side, the comparison shop, you have to go way out east side, that's about 8 miles you're driving. You're creating traffic by that same thing.
Yeah, that's true.
It used to be you just walked from store to store around the square.
Like a Wolf Cooper, and that was it. Well, as you said, still in all, Madison has a lot to
do. Oh, yes. And, I mean, there are problems getting from the east side to the west side. Everything has to funnel through the isthmus or go around. It isn't like other cities where they have half a dozen arteries going through.
Mm-hmm. And yet those lakes are really worth it, aren't they? Especially.
Well, from comments you hear of people who come from other parts of the country, I mean, they've never seen anything like this with the lakes.
Mm-hmm. And the campus is, although it has a lot of different style buildings, it's still a really beautiful place to do a school. Well, would you like to give any kind of a summary statement? Give you the last chance for you on the debate.
All I can say is I'm glad I was here.
Well, that's good, and I appreciate your being willing to talk to me and